Let's begin to appreciate the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. The one who has made it possible for you and I to be in his presence this morning. Our Redeemer, our Maker, our Savior. It is by his mercies that we are not consumed. The same road that you plied and you came safely, others passed dead and there are no more. We have every reason to worship him this morning. Look back and you see his goodness. Let's take these few minutes we have to appreciate him.
We give you glory, Lord.
Oh, yes.
As we honor you.
Let him know you are grateful. You'll be an ingrate.
We give you glory, Lord. As we worship you.
Oh, yes.
You are wonderful. You are worthy, oh Lord. You are wonderful. You are worthy, oh Lord. We give you glory, Lord. We give you glory, Lord. Oh,
worship him.
We honor you.
Worthy of our worship.
We give you glory.
That's the essence of our life.
We give you glory, Lord.
Let him know you are grateful.
As we worship you.
You are redeemed to worship you.
You are wonderful. You are worthy, oh Lord. You are wonderful. You are worthy, oh Lord. All the glory must be.
Give
the Lord.
Give him all the honor. Give him all the adorations.
For he is worthy of our praise. No man on earth should give glory to himself. For the glory must be.
Worship him.
To the Lord, glory to the Lord. All the glory must be to the Lord. Oh, to the Lord.
Worship the King of Kings.
For he is worthy of
your
worthy of our praise. No man on earth should give glory to himself. Oh, all the glory must be to the Lord.
Brethren, all we are here to do today is to worship him. That is the essence of our being. We still have time to continue the worship, but very briefly now, let us pray. And so, our Heavenly Father, we thank you, most glorious, most wonderful, dependable and everlasting God, we thank you for another privilege you have given to us to gather in your presence. We thank you for the gift of life. We thank you for sound mind. We thank you for sound health. We are no better than those that slept last night, but right now, they are no more. And not better than those that slept right now. This morning, they've rushed them to hospital. We thank you for the gift of life. Thank you for good health. We thank you for the privilege and the peace you are giving to us to gather to worship you. Father, receive glory in the name of Jesus Christ. Our Father and our God, we are gathered to worship you, Lord, we pray. We know the essence of your presence in this gathering, Lord. We pray that as we are gathered, that your presence will be made manifest this day in the name of Jesus Christ. We commit our brethren on their way coming and all our brethren that will be connected to this service this morning. We pray that you grant them safety to your presence in the name of Jesus Christ. That which you have ordained for us this day, that nothing will separate us from it in the name of Jesus Christ. We are gathered, O Lord. We pray that all that you have had in store for us this day, that we shall receive it in the name of Jesus Christ. Father, we pray, O Lord, that you come down in your power. We are here to celebrate your resurrection, that you are alive. Let the power of your restoration be made manifest in our lives in the name of Jesus Christ. How will they believe without signs and wonders, Lord? Father, we pray that in this service this day, there shall be healings, there shall be deliverance, there shall be transformation, there shall be breakthrough, there shall be restoration, there shall be revival in the name of Jesus Christ. Everyone who is present in this service that we connected, that at the end of today's service, oh Lord, we have a reason to glorify your name, Lord. Father, come and bless our worship. Come and bless our offering. Come and bless all we shall do today in your presence. For in Jesus' most precious name, we pray. Can we make that amen be louder? You are blessed. Please may you be gloriously seated. Praise the Lord. Say praise the Lord. Once again, you are welcome to this service. You will not regret coming to his presence this day in the name of Jesus Christ. The Lord who has given you this great opportunity to come to worship him, we give you your package in the name of Jesus. No one comes to the Lord and remains the same. You have come today, the Lord, we give you an encounter in the name of Jesus Christ. So without wasting much time, we go straight into our Sunday school. By his grace, we pray that today we shall be able to conclude the topic we've started for almost 4 weeks now. Today, it will be the fourth part. And we are trusting God that will give us the grace to conclude it. And also the grace to achieve the purpose of the study. Because there is always a purpose for study. And we clearly atomize this purpose, the aims. And we pray that all the efforts we have made all this while will not be in vain in the name of Jesus Christ. So we've been looking at the process of salvation for the past 4 weeks. Understanding the process of salvation, that has been our topic. And the essence of it is to have a better relationship with God. The essence of this study is to have a better relationship with our Savior, and to have a quality relationship with the brethren, to know the expectations of God towards us, and to know whether we are saved or not, and also to know the danger of assuming salvation. For the essence, the reason why Jesus Christ came to die for us is to save us. The essence of Christianity is to restore relationship back to our Creator. That is the reason why Jesus came. And that is our primary purpose of coming to the Lord. Every other thing, every other benefit is secondary. The primary purpose of Jesus Christ going to the cross of Calvary is to restore the relationship that was lost in the Garden of Eden. And we thank God for what he has done. And in the course of this study, we have seen how God, the spirit being, came down to redeem us. We started by looking at adoption. Adoption. That when God comes to reveal himself to you, it comes by the revelation of adoption. God doesn't just reveal his totality to you at once. The revelation of the Lord comes gradually, stage by stage. It is revelation, from revelation to revelation, from faith to faith. He reveals himself at that revelation of adoption as a sinner, that he has adopted you. You, there were no father, no identity, that he came down to pick you and adopted you as his son. But after a word, the relationship continues. It lets you know that he has not only adopted you, the revelation progresses for you to know that he has redeemed you. For it is very, there's tendency for you to believe, to begin to think, ah, this man that has adopted me, if I do anything wrong, he might throw me away. And you begin to nurse fear. He has adopted, and that is the case of every adopted child that is not really born in a family. There is this sense of fear that this man that picked me up from the stage of nothingness, and that is the case of every believer, a situation of where there was no hope, no help anywhere, totally under the bondage of sin and Satan. God reached down to us and picked us and established a relationship with us. The son and father relationship began. We begin to relate with him. But just like the Apostle Paul says in Romans chapter 1, verse 15, 16 to 17, when he said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, it is the power of God unto salvation. Verse 17, he said, therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. Therein is the righteousness of God revealed from what? From faith to faith. And here he's talking about from revelations to revelation. The revelation continues from adoption. God reveals himself to let you know, I have not only adopted you, you were mine. I am your father. You are my son. The revelation progresses that you were mine. That is why I made all the sacrifice to come down to redeem you. And you know how sweet it will be. Somebody who has been seeing himself as an adopted son, as adopted daughter, the day he finds out that I'm not just an adopted son or adopted daughter, that this man actually gave birth to me, how do you think the relationship will be? You know that this man did not adopt you, that he is your own bowel. Can we turn down the volume? It's too hard. Praise the Lord. You realize that you are not adopted, that you are given birth to by him. You know, there is this feeling of security. That feeling of fear. Ah, I don't know what I will do that this man will cast me away because I am adopted. It will no longer be there. That's why we are talking about relationship. It's a relationship. And you know how relaxed you'll be in that family. And that is all we've been trying to let us know by going through the story of Ruth. You know, this redemption, even before the foundation of the world, how God has planned it, arranged it, even before we fell. Revelation 13:8 makes us to understand that Christ was slain from where? 2,000 years ago. Where was Jesus Christ slain? God knew that a time will come that we will be separated from him through the sin of Adam, and he had made provision. We are serving a God of all knowledge. He has the foreknowledge of everything that will happen. Nothing is happening today that is taking God by surprise. Nothing. Everything that is happening now, God had foreknown it, and he has made plans for it. The fall of man did not take God by surprise. So he knew that you and I would be separated, and he has planned for our redemption. We saw all that in the book of Ruth. The book of Ruth made us to understand how that God by himself, just to redeem you and I, when man was helpless, man has no capacity, the ability to redeem man, because he was also carrying that death penalty. He was also in bondage. Somebody who is in bondage cannot rescue another man. And God has to become man. And it is a man that must rescue man. Man, God is a spirit. And he had to come down to be able to pay the price. No redemption is complete without payment of the price. And we saw it in the book of Ruth, our Boaz. Boaz is a type of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he paid the price. Oh, it's a type of man that had no capacity to redeem man. But God has to come in the flesh, in the person of Jesus Christ, to pay the price. We saw the type. And you know, we always feel that the Jews always have this kind of superiority complex. Oh, they are special beings. But from the book of Ruth we studied, do you know that if not for the love that Boaz, a type of Jesus Christ, the love that he has for Ruth, that is not how Naomi could have been redeemed. It was the love that Boaz had for Ruth that constrained him to make that kind of sacrifice. And do you know who Ruth is typing in that story? Ruth is a type of the bride. Ruth is the church. And you know, if not because the love, and that's why, let's read Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25. It is the love that he has for his church that made him to come down to pay the price. Ruth is a type of the church, the Gentile church. Why Naomi? Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church. And did what? And did what? And gave himself for it. You see the love that Boaz has for Ruth. It is the love that made him to pay the price. And Naomi is a type of the Jews. See the redeemed family of God. Ruth, a type of the Gentile church. If not for Ruth, Naomi would not be redeemed. Can you see the types in the Old Testament? And do you know at the end of it, Boaz got married to who? To Ruth. He gave birth to who? He gave birth to who? Obed. Do you know the meaning of Obed? Do you know the meaning of Obed? Obed means what? Worship. Obed means what? Worship. And that is why it is automatic that once you are a member of the redeemed family of God, it is automatic that worship should proceed from you. If Ruth is redeemed and produce Obed, meaning what? Worship. If you are being a beneficiary of the redemption that God had for his children, then worship of him, your whole essence of your life is about worship. What we are doing this morning, not only in the church, outside there, the essence of your life is nothing but to glorify him in your offices, in your marketplace, on the road, wherever you find yourself. If you have been a beneficiary of the redemption, you see what cost God your redemption to be back into that fellowship that was broken as a result of sin. You see what cost God his life. We saw all that last week. Now, nobody is expected to motivate you for his worship. Nobody is expected to begin to cajole you, to begin to preach to you concerning the worship of God. Whether in convenience or inconvenience, whether in hurt or in pain or in sickness, you are ordained for the worship of God because of your redemption. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So we've seen all that in the book of Ruth. We saw how God planned our redemption even before we began the journey. Praise the Lord. Now, the last part of this relationship we are looking at is eternal security. Eternal security. We have looked at adoption. We have looked at predestination. that made us to understand redemption. For without predestination, understanding of redemption will not be possible. Because predestination makes us to know that through the foreknowledge of God, we have been chosen for salvation before the for salvation before the foundation of the world. It is predestination that you receive salvation today, not because you just decide. It was because you were chosen for salvation before you were ever conceived. That is, was why when salvation was presented to you, you had no choice but to accept it. That if you were never chosen for salvation from the foundation of the world, even if our Lord Jesus Christ comes down to preach to you, you will turn it down. And that is why you appreciate salvation. That is not because of your righteousness. It is not because of any works that you did. That God, out of his love, this is the prerogative, nobody can question him, saw something about you before your parents ever met each other. And did something that he saw about you, he knew the choices that you will make when his salvation plan is revealed to you. And on the basis of that knowledge, he wrote your name into the book of life. And at the appointed time, you came into the kingdom. Praise the Lord. So through predestination, we have understood that. Now we want to look at eternal security. Eternal security. Because if your knowledge of your relationship with God is only limited to adoption, whereby you see yourself as an adopted son or adopted daughter of God, and you did not progress in your revelation to redemption, the tendency is high for you to think that you can lose your salvation. As so many people, evangelical, many Pentecostal teachers teach today, that a child of God who has been saved can lose his salvation. And there are scriptures they are holding on to. One of the reasons why they hold on to that is that revelation of adoption. Because you are an adopted son, because you are an adopted daughter, then he can decide one day and say, he's no more adopting you, and you lose your salvation. And they begin to say, oh, you have got to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. That because he that endureth to the end shall be saved. That because the Israelites, because they were not standing firm, they were cut off. According to Romans chapter 11, verse 25 to 28. That God can cut you off. They quote scripture as 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 27. When Apostle Paul says, I put my body under. Lest after I have preached to you, lest I be a castaway. Many scriptures, they are holding on to buttress their understanding of that there's nothing like eternal security. So what do we understand by eternal security? Eternal security is a biblical truth. It's in the Bible. There are scriptures that support it. So it's a term to describe the condition of the salvation that we have received. It's a term to describe the condition of the salvation we have received as a believer. And it means once saved, eternally saved. And there are scriptures that we can hold on to. The people that say there is nothing, that it is an error, it's a fallacy to say once somebody is saved, that it is eternally saved. They have their scriptures they are holding on to. And we that believe that eternal security is a Bible truth, in fact, that is nothing but the truth, we have our scriptures. So how do we balance it? How do we balance it? Let's bring back that slide. Eternal security. I say, salvation is by what? It's by election. There is nothing that you did for you to merit salvation. There is nothing. Romans chapter 6, verse 23. Romans chapter 6, verse 23. Can we have it? It said, for the wages of sin is what? Is death. But the gift of God is what? Eternal life through Jesus Christ. The gift is a gift. Something that is a gift. Did you work for it? Election. God elected you, chose you for salvation. It is not by your making. You have to come from that standpoint of understanding that there is nothing that you did for you to be saved. It was just an act of favor, as described by Titus. It's a favor of God. I would say we say salvation is unmerited favor. It's just a favor unto thee that God, out of his mercy, just looked down. Oh, this is my daughter, this is my son. Should not end up in air and lake of fire. Let me reveal myself unto him. Praise the Lord. So salvation is by election of God, which brings about a process. So, what is the process? It's a process whereby a sinner is washed. Now, remember, the topic is understanding the process of salvation. Salvation, from the very beginning, I said, is not something that is instantaneous thing. That today, okay, you just confess your sins, and you become saved. No. It's a process. You must have that at the back of your mind. Forget these errors that somebody tells you to say after me. Jesus, I come to you today. I repent of my sin. Write my name into the book of life, and you are pronounced, you are saved. It is an error. It is a scam that can never get anybody to be saved. We thank God for what God has done for us. For our eyes of understanding, he has opened. It's a process. As a child, the day that the father and mother will decide to have a child, is it that day they will have a child? So it is. It takes about 9 months. There's a period of incubation. There's a period of the fertilization of the egg. And at the end of the day, delivery. So it is. It's a process. Whereby what? A sinner is what? It's washed. It's washed. Renewed. And what? Born by the Spirit of the living God. You can say you are saved. You can't say you are saved until you are what? Born again by the Spirit of the living God. If you read Ezekiel chapter 36, verse 24 to 27, you see the process. It's a process. Ezekiel chapter 36, you will see this process. Can we have it? It's a process. It's not just an instantaneous one thing. It's how this is how God goes about our salvation. He said, I will put my spirit, verse 24, this is the last stage of the process. So I will take you from among the Eden and gather you out of all countries, and I will bring you into your land. Verse 25, the same way he deals with the Israel. This is how he gathered them. He said, then will I sprinkle clean waters. Take note of these processes. Then will I sprinkle clean water upon you, and ye shall be clean from all your filthiness and from all your idols. Will I cleanse you? Verse 26, see the process. A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you. And I will take away the stony heart and out of your flesh, and I will give you an heart of flesh. You know, these scriptures have been well explained in this year. So, except you are new, it is a process of salvation. Okay, this is the last stage. And I will put my spirit within you, and cause you to walk in my truth until you get to this stage where God releases his spirit upon you. You are not yet saved. Praise the Lord. Nobody can serve God without having the spirit of God in him. Nobody. And that is why Jesus Christ came. That we that is born of flesh is of flesh. That we that is born of the spirit is spirit. A carnal man cannot please God. That is why you need to be born again. That is the essence of the statement that the Lord Jesus Christ made in John chapter 3, verse 3. Let's read it. It's a process. If you are born by your father and born by your mother, bound by that means. Say, Jesus, this is it. That scripture we read in Ezekiel See the summary. Jesus, this is answering Nicodemus. Jesus answered and said unto him, because Nicodemus came unto him, said, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again. Can you see? The one you are born before of the flesh, that one cannot please God. That one cannot inherit the kingdom. A man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. You cannot understand the kingdom of God. Verse 5. See it. This is it. Salvation. Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water. And I define it. He said, I was explaining salvation. I said, it's a process whereby God brings a sinner, washed him, renew him. That must be the word of God. You must be renewed. You came from a world. You are coming to the kingdom. You must be renewed. Except a man be born of water and born of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Brethren, I told you it's a process. There are stages. If only what you have done in coming to Jesus is just confessing your sin and you have repented, you are not yet saved. Praise the Lord. I thank God that this study is coming at a time like this because we have opportunity. By this time next week, we shall be embarking on a journey. Praise the Lord. It is only happening. It's only happening here. You know, that is the essence. The devil has got the old Christendom, the level he has put them now. At the moment we are in, what every heavenly conscious, heavenly thirsty believers should be after now, should have to prepare themselves for homegoing. Because virtually all the signs given by the Lord Jesus Christ already revealed, has already come to pass. But what do you see the old religious world going after? The same thing that he says, as it was in the days of Noah, drinking, partying, doing all of that that has nothing to do. But now, we are going to be embarking on a journey. By this time next week, it's a process of receiving your visa. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. If all that you have done since you have come to Christ is the first stage of your salvation, which is what? Repentance. You know, Apostle Peter broke it down. That statement that the Lord Jesus Christ made in John chapter 3, verse 5, he broke it down in Acts of Apostles chapter 2, verse 38. He said, do what? Repent. Brethren, I don't know if all you have done is to just confess your sin and you join a church and you become a worker. It's good. But don't stop there. It is just the beginning of the journey. That you confess your sin and you belong to a church. Don't stop there. Don't be a victim of that scam that says, oh, say after me, you confess your sin and you are born again. No, it's deeper than that. It's one of the antics, the strategy of the devil to make you end up in hell and lake of fire. It will not be your portion in the name of Jesus. After your repentance, you proceed. You proceed to what? To justification. That is water baptism. It's a process whereby that sin you inherited from Adam and the one that you have ever committed since you were born from your parents is remitted. And you stand before God as if you have not committed any sin. We are not new to this doctrine of justification through correct water baptism. We are grounded in it in this church. Praise the Lord. But in case today is your first time or you have not had time, I will plead with you that you don't delay. He said delay is dangerous. Nobody knows when he will die. Nobody knows. As you don't know the day you were born, the same way you don't know when you will die. Don't delay. Because we are talking about eternity. 1,000 years thereafter you will step into. Don't joke with it. And in case you have done it, you didn't do it correctly, please, go and correct it. It must be done in the name of Jesus Christ. Correct water baptism. And after you have done that, please, Don't stop there. Praise the Lord. Don't stop there. You are still on a journey. And many people who speak against or who are opposed to the truth of eternal security, that preach that there is nothing like eternal security, that you can, once you are saved, you can lose your salvation. You can lose your salvation if your salvation is not complete. Praise the Lord. You can lose your salvation if what? If you are not sealed. Ephesians chapter 1 verse 13. You can lose it. And that is why many people are losing it. They began the journey, they didn't get to the end, and they lost it. And because of that, because they have seen cases, they've seen examples of people who lost their salvation, they now think there is nothing like eternal security. He said, in whom ye also trusted, after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. What's the meaning of a seal? A seal is a stamp that the work has been what? That the work has been what? Complete. Brethren, like I said, it is timely. In case you have not been sealed, in case you have not received the baptism of the Holy Ghost, even if it makes you to begin your own preparation now, it's worth it. Because we are talking of eternal life. Without Holy Ghost, no Holy Ghost, no Holy Ghost. And what shall it profit a man? And gains the whole world and loses his soul. You have the jeep, you have the cars, you have the houses. Fine. They will all make your living here comfortable. But maybe you spend 100 years or at most 150. You can't compare it with 1,000 years in the millennium. You can't compare it with the eternity, where there will be no more pain, there will be no more death, there will be no more crying, there will be no more all this VG we are coming to. No more. For it will be the light. Are you excited? Are you happy? Are you hopeful? You will experience it in the name of Jesus Christ. That is what is keeping us going. It is the hope of that translation. It is that hope. That is why we are not bothered about what we see. Whether we have money in our pockets, whether we have clothes to wear. But we know that this world is not our home. This present world is not our home. We are on a journey. May you be part of that journey in the name of Jesus Christ. So I was saying, eternal security is a comforting truth, biblical truth, that nobody except you are not well revelated can explain out of the Bible. You can lose the salvation if you don't get to the end of that salvation process. But once you get to the end, no demon, no power, even you yourself, you cannot unsee yourself. I said you cannot unsee yourself. I love the way our daddy in the Lord always put it. Is there anything that you can do, brother, that will make you to cease to be the son of your father? You know, I told you that salvation is complete when you are born by the Spirit of the living God. I said it's a process whereby a sinner is washed, you are cleansed, you are renewed, and what? Born again by the Spirit of God. Once that Spirit comes upon you, you are giving birth to. Is there anything that you can do? Even if you, it will not be your portion, you sleep with your father's wife. Can that action make you to cease of being the son of your father? As it is impossible. And why is it not possible that you can cease to be the son of your father? Give him the mic. No matter any abomination that he indulges in, that he did, that he can never cease Six means you can never stop being the son of your father. Why can you not be? Why can you not stop being the son of your father? Because his blood is in you. Praise the Lord. So it is. The Lord, the Almighty God, has given you his spirit in you. Nothing can make you stop being the son or daughter of the living God. But if he has not given you the spirit that confirms that you are his son or his daughter, you can stop being his child because you were actually in the process of being his child. Remember, we are looking at understanding the process of salvation. You repented, you are in a process. You went for water baptism, you are in a process. Apostle Peter says, and ye shall receive, as of Apostle chapter 2, verse 38, the gift that is eternal life. You shall receive this gift of the Holy Ghost. It's eternal life. It is when you have received it, brother, sister, that is when you can say you are a Christian. You are not a Christian until you are born again by the Spirit of the living God. That was why when I came to Christ, 2006, having understood this, I did not delay in telling God, please confirm to me whether truly I am your son or not. And it's a prayer that God does not joke with. He has given us an assurance in Luke chapter 11. Say, if you ask him of the Spirit, he will give it to you. Brethren, don't assume it. Don't assume that you are saved. The danger of assumption is very grievous. Don't assume it. Ensure, our daddy in the Lord preached that message. Don't assume your salvation. Ensure. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 10. Can we read it? It's a popular scripture in the church. It's one of our scriptures we quote every time. Say, wherefore, they rather, brethren, give diligence. Put everything within you that you need to put in. To do what? To make your calling and election sure. What is he saying? Do everything to be sure that Satan will not be able to even explain it away. Because devil is even in the business of saying, are you sure you are saved? Ensure it. And how do you know? The fruit that you bear will let you know if truly you are saved or not. Ensure that you are saved. It is not enough to say, oh, I am a worker. It is not enough to say, I answer a title that confirms, it is dangerous to you to begin to equate your salvation to the title that you bear or tithe that you are paying. No. Don't allow the devil to deceive you. Ensure that you are saved. Ensure that you are saved. Eternal security. Eternal security. That once you get to that final stage of God giving you his spirit, then, and you are sealed without his spirit, nothing. This your salvation is what? Eternal. You cannot be unsaved again. You cannot go back to your mother's womb again. It's not possible. He has given birth to you no matter what. They quote Philippians chapter 2, verse 12. Walk out. And people who don't really dissect the scripture, let's read it. Philippians chapter 2. This is one of the people that are saying there is nothing like eternal. I was shocked. A sitter who used to be here just stumbled on it. I was there on Facebook and was saying, he used to be a Bible reader. And he was questioning the veracity of the truth. Is it true that eternal security, this doctrine, he was questioning it on the Facebook. That is it true that once saved, that you are eternally saved? He spent more than 10 years here. He used to be a Bible reader. And I just shook my head. But in case you two are here this morning, I want it to be settled in your mind. I'm going to show you a diagram after this now to let you know how eternal security is brought about. Look at this. This is one of the people that says, There is nothing like eternal security that you can lose yourself. This is one of their main scriptures. Say, wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, and not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, walk out your own salvation with fear and trembling. If they quote this scripture for you, see how you counter it. What did you do? Did you walk before you were saved? Is your salvation, did your salvation come by your work? Ephesians chapter 2 verse 9. Salvation is a free gift. You did not pay anything. The price was already paid on the cross of Calvary. Look at it. Your salvation. Okay, let's take it from verse 8. It said, for by grace are ye saved through faith, and that none of yourself. It is the what? It is the what? The gift of God. Verse 9. Not of works. Now, hold it there. Compare it with the one that we read. It said, work out your salvation with what? And they are saying, oh, you can lose your salvation if you don't work out your salvation. But salvation that you had, you didn't work for it. It was given unto you. It was given unto you. So, something you did not work for before, it was given to you. Now, how can you now be working for it to maintain it? Brethren, once you receive that spirit, once you have got to that final stage and you are sealed, nothing can unsave you. And I will show you why. Praise the Lord. But like I said, you can lose it if you don't get to the final stage. If you stop at repentance, you can lose it. If you stop at water baptism, you can lose it. But if you proceed and get to the final stage of your salvation, nothing on earth can make you lose it. Once you are saved, you are what? Eternally saved. Mark chapter 16, verse 16. Shall your salvation, he says, shall. Say, he that believeth, you believe that it was because of you, Jesus Christ went to the cross of Calvary. You know, you believe it was because of you, all that he suffered for, he did it for you. You believe. What next? And is baptized. That means a lot of people, even in time, they believe. Many people think once they are baptized, they are saved. It's a lie of the devil. Are you saved after baptism? Look at this scripture. Shall be saved. It is after you have done that, then you are in the process of the final stage of you receiving the Spirit. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So, see, IT, let's see the last slide. See how what you would use to explain better to them in case you meet them. Eternal security, there are scriptures, even John chapter 10, verse 27. Let's read that one before now we round it up with this eternal security. John chapter 10. The scripture that Jesus Christ was telling them. Say, my sheep hear my voice and I know them and they follow me. Verse 28. And I give unto them temporary life, partial life. What did he give unto them? Eternal life. And they shall what? Never perish. Why? Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. Eternal security. No power. No power. Now, see why it is not possible for you. I have given you an example naturally. It's a natural example that has nothing. Do you know Esau? We say Esau, we know the action that he did. He sold his birthright. Now, it was a sacrilege. It was an abomination he did. Now, did that action make him to stop being the son of Jacob? I mean, of Esau and Jacob, of Isaac? Did that action, selling his birthright, did it stop him? It only stopped him from losing his position. His position as the first son was lost because of the life he lived. Praise the Lord. But as far as his birth, being his sonship, he remains forever the son of Isaac. So it is. Once you are bound by the Spirit of the living God, nothing can stop you from being the son of God. Praise the Lord, or daughter of God. See how God achieved eternal security for us. Let's read Romans chapter 8, verse 20. Verse 28. Let's take it from there. Then we'll. Romans chapter 8. It's a comforting truth. The devil is trying. Let's read Romans chapter 8. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God and to them who are the called according to his purpose. Verse 29. For whom he did foreknow, we have explained foreknowledge. What is foreknowledge? That knowing something in advance, before you were born, there is something that God knew about you through his ability of foreknowledge. With Isaiah 46 verse 10, even Acts of Apostles 15, makes us to know that God has the ability that you are seated here today, God has already known. For whom he did foreknow, those people that he has knowledge of whom they are, what did he do? He also did predestinate. Because God knew something about you before the foundation of the world, predestinate means determine your end before you will ever come. Shows you for salvation. Because of what he knew about you, shows you for salvation. And wrote your name in the book of life. Now, to be what? To be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Jesus Christ, our elder brother, we are following. Now, look at it. Moreover, look at how God achieved eternal security for us. Say, moreover, whom he did predestinate. That is, whom he did foreknow. People whom he had knowledge of or about. He wrote their names into the book of life, shows them for salvation. What did he do to them? Those people's names have been written in the book of life for salvation. What did he do? They are the one he called. Now, he didn't just call anybody that will not accept salvation. Praise the Lord. Because he knew something about you. It was because he knew you will accept the salvation. That was why he originally chose you for it. Then, after he has called you, what will he do? He justifies. They are the sect, they are the people that will do. Go for correct water baptism. For justification here, being justified is a process. Your sins that are separated you from him, they are what? Remitted. Now, you are not to stop there. And whom he justified after your, he did what? He also glorified. This glorification is the last stage. The glory that Adam lost, this is the place whereby it is restored. When that spirit is now restored unto thee. Let's read this. Look at the slide now. Now, if he has given you, he doesn't just give eternal life to those whom he knew will not follow him. He doesn't give eternal life to those who will turn his back against him again. Do you know that is the reason why, even in the Garden of Eden, when he knew Adam and Eve, they are falling, what did God quickly do? What did he do? Because he knew they have already fallen. Death is already in them. He quickly will do what? He will do eternal life. That was why he will do the tree of life. Because in that their carnal nature, if they should touch, eat the tree of life, they will live forever in their carnal nature. That was why he knew that once you have eternal life, you are eternally secure, safe forever. Glorified. You are what? Glorified. Once you get to this stage, no power, nothing can make you to cease from being a son and daughter of God. Beloved, in a week from now, you can begin your own plan. In case salvation is not something you are supposed to be sure, ask yourself, am I truly saved?
Amen.
Am I truly saved? It's not something, it's confusing when somebody will be saying, I don't know whether I am saved or not. No. You should know. He said, a fruit is known by what? By its fruit. In case you are having a doubt, it's an evidence that you are not yet saved.
Amen.
Big opportunity is being provided again. By Sunday, 26th, we are going to begin a journey. Amen. A journey of 21 days. If you begin your own preparation now, the same way you prepare the effort you are making to want to travel out or you want to make money, double that effort. In case you are not sure, in case you are not sure that you are not that you are saved, the reason why anyone should come to Christ at all is to be able to live forever with Christ. Every other thing is temporal. Every other thing what is temporal. Apostle Paul was admonishing them. He said, if only in this world you have hope. He said, you have of all men most miserable. Eternal life. Eternal life. It is worth that you should put all your effort to get. And eternal life is given to those who have been foreknown by the Father. And if your name is already in the book of life, you will receive it. Even in today's service. I said you will receive it even in today's service. And once you receive it, you are eternally saved. I said you are eternally saved. Bow down your heads and begin to appreciate God.